This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, John's Department Store, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome. Welcome. Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. I hope you guys are great. Thank God the hurricane in the tropical depression, now perhaps the hurricane has passed. Now the work of dealing with floods in some areas, power outages in other areas, is carrying on and continuing. Everybody gets back to what for them is normal. These things are never without disruption to some, maybe sometimes to most. And you just got to deal with it because this is where you live. We live in a hurricane prone area. There is always a great struggle for all of us. I think for most of us to remain reasonable in the face of challenge, right? When things are going good, we tend to be more reasonable. So for instance, like if you don't have a problem, but your friend has a problem, or a family member has a problem, you'd be surprised how soberly you can give advice and guidance to them about their problem. But when you have the problem, thinking about that same problem, in the same kind of sober, reasonable, reasoned way is not as easy. This is one of the reasons why we are told that, you know, when we're faced with challenges, try to put yourself in a place where you are talking to yourself as if you were talking to somebody else with the problem, because there's an attempt to try to get outside of the emotional involvement and into the reasoning person that you and I can be when we are not emotionally vested in an issue. So when it's me on my party or my side or my group, and we have an issue, we may take one position on the issue, but when it's somebody else, we may take a different position on the issue, oftentimes because we can't see with the same degree of clarity and objectivity the matter because of our emotional investment one way or the other. And so the great challenge for all of us is to try and be soberly minded as much as possible when we have to contend with, deal with anything. I made a vow to myself that I'm not going to make any important decision if I'm too happy or too sad, too angry or too elated or too anything. That I need to wait for the kind of calm that allows me to reflect in a balanced way. That's my promise to myself. And when I breach that, you know, it's clear and I know that, yeah, and this is a consequence that flows when you breach it. To be able to live in this world, to live in this country, and to, I mean, it's so tricky because bias has crept in. You may not even be able to see it yourself. You may not be able to. I think deep down in our hearts, we know that this is driven by our bias, but sometimes it seems like we can't even see it. But to be able to walk about, to face the issues with clarity and reasonableness is the great challenge of living life wisely. Right? See it for what it is. Good, bad, ugly. To see it for what it is. Because to see it for what it is to see the truth. And to see and know the truth is how you find freedom. Freedom to act in a responsive way that is more likely than not to bring results. So why do I mention that? So. So now bear in mind, we get labor results all the time. We get labor reports all the time. We've been getting labor reports for years and years and years. First from the Department of Statistics. For the longest time, only once a year. For the longest time, just once a year, you get labor statistics. They came out in May. The survey may have been taken sometime months before that. You get the labor statistics, though, in May. Once a month, once a year, for years that was true. In around about 2008, 2009, 2010, I don't know, when I was Minister of State, I initiated a process that resulted in labor statistics being taken twice a year. So you got one in May and you got one in November. One in May, one in November. Because the idea was we needed more frequent measures of what was happening in the economy insofar as labor was concerned. And so I worked with the Department of Statistics to try to make that happen. Thankfully, it did in fact happen. If I'm not mistaken, Kelsey Dorsett, now chair of the BNSI and was then director of statistics. Now we get these statistics quarterly in arrears, but quarterly. So we're getting them more frequently now, and instead of twice a year, we get them now four times a year. Who knows, perhaps one day it may be monthly, who knows. I made an observation today. So in the Nassau Guardian, the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, in addressing the issue of the recent unemployment statistics released by the BNSI, he essentially said, okay, let's see what the next set of results say. Okay, well, let's see what the next set of results say. Okay. He then went on to say that he got an understanding from the statisticians about at least an understanding of how the statisticians arrived at those numbers. You'll recall that Minister Halkita said he had discussions with the BNSI about the numbers. And this was the starting point for my curiosity. Recall that when the second quarter, the Prime Minister and said in his budget communication that they proved that his strategy was working. What they were seeking to achieve was being accomplished. Here's what I found curious. The Prime Minister nor his team bothered or needed to contact the BNSI and ask them, how did you arrive at these numbers that reduced the unemployment rate? No one's, because the Prime Minister described the reduction as significant and the lowest sense. So this was great news. And it was significant because I think the last numbers was of the order of 9.7%. So this 8.7% was almost a 2 percentage points drop. So it was as significant as the increase was a 1.8% stitch point drop in increase. But no one said, why, how did you arrive at this? The Prime Minister, in the terms of the latest number, says it's a question of seasonality. He understands that in the grouper season, this happened and so forth and so forth. Well, the grouper season runs from March 1st to November, which means that by the time as you reach December, January, February, and so forth, I mean, that's low season for grouper because there's no season. But then come March, which is when the second quarter on labor statistics kick in. Why did no one say then? Well, you know, the decrease in unemployment would have reflected seasonality because now the grouper fishermen are now back fishing. What's that? Seasonality is important now that the unemployment rate has gone up. It isn't important if the unemployment rate drops. It's important to understand how the BNSI arrives at labor statistics, but it's not important to when the numbers go up, but it isn't important when the numbers go down. Mind you, they use the same methodology, same surveying, same agency. Why is this important to me? Because all of this is how we get to politicize, understand what I mean, make politic of, not FNMPLP politic, but make politic of, the politicking government of statistics. Crazy Thompson looks at the numbers when the unemployment rate goes down, and he questions, why this? Why that? Why the next thing? Now that the numbers go up, don't question the numbers. Prime Minister, when it goes down, he's elated. It's consistent with our strategy. When it goes up, we have to now ask the BNSI, what's their methodology? And then it becomes a matter of seasonality. And And so what happens is you, the public, get to thinking through the lens of these political leadership. You get to thinking, oh, manipulative? Or the numbers are dependent on something other than this professional technical expertise of the people that do this? Because these kind of, no, you the numbers are what they are. And then you can do analysis to try to determine, okay, yeah, we had this, we had that, we had the next thing. Very curious to me. No one went ahead and asked when the numbers going down, went down. Oh. Why? Why is it down? Why is it down? Why do we have a lower unemployment rate? What did you do? What are you doing? Except if you're in the opposition. They ain't good for them. In the government, that's good. Then it goes up. If you're in the opposition, you don't ask any questions. In the government, you ask questions. if technical experts are querying things in relation to the methodology and to this, that, and the next thing in relation to what technical people do, I can understand that because they would then have to have some probable cause to do so. But I don't want no politics to arrive at this and how you arrive at that, asking no institution that. I don't want that happening. I don't care if you're FNM, PLP, DNA, COI, or whoever you are. You shouldn't be doing it. Whether the numbers are down or the numbers are up, you should not be asking the BNSI or any statistical grouping that's doing it in accordance to international best practice how they did what. If you don't do it every time, don't do it anytime. Don't make no difference how the numbers swing. You shouldn't be doing it. First of all, the BNSI is an agency, a quasi-agency of the government of the Bahamas. The government of the Bahamas has the wherewithal to speak with them and ask about not their statistics, about how they're functioning, what is happening at any given time, and they'll communicate that to the government. But don't wait till no numbers come out and then the opposition got this view now, another view then later. You have one view now, another view later. When you're in opposition and the numbers is 10.7, now all of a sudden people don't have no vision, no plan, etc. When you get it 10.8%, now the numbers, now it's a matter of seasonality. And the Minnesota administration had a 10.7% unemployment rate in 2019. Those numbers were taken in the last quarter of 2018, right? Or even if it were taken in the first quarter of 2019, do you know what is true? At that time, the group of season was closed. So the group of season was closed. The unemployment rate goes up, if that's an explanation. And yet, no plan, no vision, no strategy is the reason for the explanation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been kicked down the same road.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is... Hear him and Cora last Friday? I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. Bahamas First, you're in safe hands, in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Love your example of the group of season. Also, some group of fishermen. Maybe also be craw fishermen. So between the seasons, the numbers may not change greatly, my thoughts. Yeah, but then, so if we are not so... vested in trying to have numbers make us look good or bad, make us look good and others bad, we can do the kind of analysis that could rule out just sheer irrational thinking about the numbers to begin with, right? So let me give you an example. So now there is an appeal to seasonality in respect of the high unemployment rate of 10.8%. That's the appeal. Well, here's what is true. In the first quarter of 2024, remember this 10.8% relates to the first quarter of 2025. Quarter one, 2025, 10.8%. In quarter one of 2024, what do you think the unemployment rate was? Now, bear in mind, if seasonality is an issue, then it's an issue all the time because the season is the season. That's what it means. It's, you got these repeating cycles of periodic something. The unemployment rate in the first quarter of 2024 was 8.7%, not 10.8%. 8.7%. Right? In the grouping to which the fishermen and them belong, in 2024, there were 3,490 persons employed. That was in the first quarter of 2024, according to the BNSI. In the first quarter of 2025, there are more of them employed, 3,745 in that grouping. In that entire grouping, there are more people employed in 2025 first quarter than in 2024 first quarter when the unemployment rate was 8.7%. Right? So what was the contributing factors then? In fact, if you look at 2024 first quarter and 2025 first quarter, the only numbers that are down, the only categories that are down is manufacturing, and manufacturing is not seasonal. Manufacturing jobs were down. Construction jobs were down by more than 2,000. Construction isn't seasonal. Construction is whenever it is. You know, who knows when somebody's going to decide to construct? We don't have any serious winter or season or rainy season like that, that construction goes out of the door around in those seasons. Projects happen when they happen, according to the planning of the people who want to do the projects. But construction, the most significant category down was construction, right? Wholesale and retail trade was down. Again, this isn't a seasonal sector. The most seasonal of all the sectors is the hotels and restaurant business. And consistent with the season, compared to 2024, when the unemployment rate was 8.7%, it actually had more people employed, 41,260 compared to 39,410 in 2025 first quarter. So seasonality as an issue doesn't seem to play in respect these numbers. Right? Finance, the financing, insurance, real estate, and other business services, that was down also. Not seasonal. It's not seasonal business. I mean, sector. So there are definitely some softening of areas in the economy. And that could happen. That could happen for any number of reasons. That doesn't have to mean the government is failing, the government isn't doing its job. And so forth. It just could mean that you have an economic adjustment taking place that is causing some fluctuation in the labor market. And as the Prime Minister said, it could also mean that with more opportunities, discouraged workers enter the field and begin looking for work, and that will increase the unemployment rate. And so while it looks negative, it can in fact be a positive for the economy. That is true. That's a more reasonable appeal than some of the things that I've been hearing said of late. We're going to take another break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General. Insurance may...
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Love you. Not that one. Tech says, Shivago, you are aware that the old aqueduct in Chippenham dumps accumulated water on the private properties. Sometimes it is so much water that it floods surrounding properties. Now knee-deep water is on the ground and in homes. Based on past flooding, it can take up to 10 days for water to recede. What is the reasonable expectation of MP Alfred says? That's an interesting question. When I was a member of parliament for Fort Charlotte between 1997 and 2002, we had a Hurricane Floyd. It would have been the first such hurricane I would have experienced under my watch as a member of parliament. Young man, just in the business. So after the hurricane had passed, I lived in Fort Popal Tract myself. And a reporter asked me about what again, inexperienced doing this. I had not yet really moved about and surveyed the constituency. I knew what I was experiencing there in Qualtrough, and that there was some flooding. But from my point of view, my perspective, it wasn't, you know, I think of flooding and I think serious, really high levels of flooding. I did see the water rise in our neighborhood, and, you know, it didn't come into any homes. And so that was my perspective. As I said, you know, there was some flooding, some manageable flooding, et cetera. Well, that did not go off over well with lots of people in Chippingham and in Qualtrough, for whom the same aqueduct had overflowed, an aqueduct which I had tried with the public works at the time, Watson, or I think it was Minister of Public Works, to get some relief. And we did some things in there, but that was obviously not enough. And I recall that candidate, Alfred Sayers, very articulately told the press, you know, about the flooding that had happened and this challenge of the aqueduct and how it needed to be addressed. Very, very, very articulately. I mean, I looked like a simpleton listening to him identify with this frustration of voters. I clearly, obviously, had not tuned into these constituents about this flooding issue. And so I said this is interesting because that was before 2002. 25 years later, you are asking me about this aqueduct and the flooding it caused, because I was told that this problem had been addressed, because I lost my seat and Alfred, of course, became the member of parliament. 25 years later, what are you asking me? Let me see. Shivago, you are aware that the old aqueduct in Chippenham dumps accumulated water onto private properties. Sometimes it's so much water that it floods surrounding properties. Now knee-deep water is on the ground and in homes. Based on past flooding, it can take up to 10 days for water to recede. What is a reasonable expectation of MP Alfred Sayers? Well, to get on the air, I'll come to you and tell you we are working on it. Public Works, I remember bringing Eric Carey, who was with the National Trust then, to look at it, to see about it. We talked about it. Because I'm trying to figure out how to deal with it. 25 years later. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mr. Carey lived around that area. I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he can, only thing he can do, I imagine, is appeal to Public Works to try and bring you some relief. That's the only thing I could imagine being done. But you see, this is again the peculiarity of our politics. We make politics of an issue. And it can help you. It can. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't believe for one minute that if a politician misrepresents, exaggerates, understates, even doesn't tell the truth about a matter, that it won't and can't help them. That is not true. Lies can help you win office. Misrepresentations. Fake news, fake stories can help you win office. Distortions, all of those can help you win office. What they cannot do is outlast time. Because time tells all. Given enough time, the truth shall be revealed. What one guy say? No lie could live forever. No lie can live forever. The truth crushed to earth will rise again. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Chicago. Good afternoon. How are you?
Right here, man. What's going on?
Right here, my brother. I just have a question for you. The aqueducts that you're talking about, and I'm thinking that they will probably be the same. Is this the aqueduct that has the opening out there connected at Saunders Beach near between Shell and
Kentucky and all of them? It's like right. So. If you turn into Papaw Track, within 15 feet, you will see the duck running across the road. Not the road, of course. It will be under the road, but on both sides of the road, you'll see the aqueduct running.
And that's assumed to be on the U.S. Embassy property on that southern side of the road?
Yes, yes.
It's like a big pond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you what I observed about that, because I've followed them to a certain extent onto that ground where I think they're supposed to put the new hospital and everything, because that duct also runs under the old, on the property on where the Zoo nightclub is, and then it goes down further south.
It runs a long way. I think it runs as far as Fort Charlotte.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
But I know I observed them on the new roadways that bring you out to the roundabout, the six-legged roundabout in the back there as well. Well, I brought all that up to say this. You know, if that is any indication of what perhaps the South Beach canals are supposed to represent, I noticed in parts of that aqueduct, you got tree roots, you got debris, you got tires, you got all kind of stuff inside there. I know at one time the government, I think, attempted to clear the sand and everything from the
That's been done several times. It was done when I was minister on occasion.
Exactly.
We brought in and so forth.
Exactly. And that's what I remember. I think basically in all case and purposes, perhaps we need to really get someone to really go and inspect, because if it's not doing what it's really supposed to be doing, then it means that it needs a closer inspection. Tree roots in particular, like I said, I've seen them grow out of the rock, and just, you know, fall into the water, and you got all kind of things trapped in there and everything. I just believe they just need to do a more thorough investigation.
But think about this for a moment, right? Think about this for a moment. Even when it's cleaned out, it has a bottom, true or not true? Does it not have a bottom?
It has a bottom, yes.
Okay. So if water gets poured into it and enough water will flood?
I would assume so.
No, it would definitely still flood. So what I'm saying is that it ought to be cleaned with regularity and all that kind of stuff. But is it really a function of that, or is it a function of, on this occasion, this much precipitation is causing a problem? I don't know. I'm just saying, right? So, you know, because what you're talking about has been done and done before on multiple times.
But it is a
aqueduct with a bottom, therefore with limited capacity to hold water. And if you get more water than it can hold, it's going to run over.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that point as well. My last point here then is, Ben, if that is the case, and, well, of course, South Wales is low-lying or whatever, because
Papaw Track, bro.
Yep, is probably installing some lift stations and try pump the water out of the area, which is something I talked about in the other show in terms of Pinewood Gardens. I don't know if that area is a bowl or what's going on. I guess I'll have to do a little more research on it. But, you know, once water levels out in any particular area, don't care how much pumping you do, the water is still going to return. So That's something that we have to look at. But you see, that call, big, but you see, okay?
But you see that big field that's there on the side, across from the embassy? That's a big field. It's like a catchment area for water. We could keep thinking about it. Maybe one day, we'll find some people who can fix it. We have another caller on the line. We got 1 minute. Then let's see one call back.
Very quick. What people got to realize, once we have these downpours, is minimal you could do, but deal with it afterwards. Point number two is that if people would notice that on Sandals Beach on yesterday, where that water lead out to the sea, you notice all the water was brown. The Ministry of Works had a crew out there actually pumping that out. So, yes, they are doing something about it.
Sure. And that's what they do. They're out there with the pumps, but that's a lot of water. Thanks for calling. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we continue our conversation. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, the PM says that it's not a question of leadership on his part, this 10.8% unemployment rate. And let me say, I agree with him 100%. I agree with Prime Minister Rave Davis that the 10.8% need not be a matter of leadership of the country. I agree with him 100%. Just as I disagree with him that the 10.7% unemployment rate reflected in the period that it was reflected in 2019, was a matter of leadership. He said it was a question of no vision, no plan, no strategy. Unlike him, Dr. Minnis did not say, let's see what happens in the next six. Because in point of fact, the next labor number was down, was lower. Prime Minister says, let's see what happens in the next report. It might well be lower. But so was Dr. Minnis's. Right? Prime Minister had a lower unemployment number in the second quarter of last year. He had a lower number. The number went up the next month and quarter and the next quarter and the next quarter. For three quarters now, the number's been trending up. It may well be down later. But you see, political rhetoric does not analysis make. No vision, no plan, no strategy. That's not an analysis of statistical numbers. It's not. If you don't look at the numbers, you don't look at the components of the numbers, you don't assess how the numbers are relative to period, prior periods, relative to similar periods prior, then that's not an analysis. That's political rhetoric. Well, if the other people can throw the political rhetoric back at you, that's how it works in politics. Not how it works in analysis, not how it works in academia, but that's how it works in politics. It's not national leadership. I would never take a 10.8% unemployment rate and say Prime Minister Davis is failing, his administration is failing, this is a sign that they don't have no strategy or no plan. I would never do such a thing. Not with one data point. I would never do such a thing. I would never render that kind of a narrow, shallow analysis of any data point. Never do so. Makes no sense. But with the measure you meet, the same measure shall be meted unto you. By those people who want to use your measure. That's what happens. Now, Prime Minister says, let's see what the next number says. If he had said that when the unemployment rate was 8 point some percent, and he said, let's see what the next quarter numbers say, it wouldn't have been good because it went up. And if he said, well, let's see what the next number say after it was 9%, it wouldn't have been good because it went up to 10.8%. Will it go up beyond 10.8%? I hardly believe so, actually. I hardly believe so. It is possible, though, because there are things happening, right? So if you don't have new projects to hire in the construction field, because remember, construction jobs fell off. So if you don't have new projects in the field, when's the next? The next one would have been taken between April April, May, June, July. Again, that's going to be dated, you know. That whenever the next quarter comes up, it's going to be dated. We'll probably be in December when the second quarter data comes up. Right? So it still won't tell you what is happening today. And then when the third quarter number comes up, you still will not know what is happening today, but it may say whether the numbers are going downward. Just remember, come June, a new set of children will graduate high school. And if they are in the job-looking business, then they get added to your unemployment rate if they don't have jobs. Now, it is conceivable that if people start to think, well, you know, I thought there were jobs, and so I don't see jobs, and then they start getting discouraged, then they can go back into that discouraged worker category, and that can then bring the unemployment rate down. So that those two situations can net off each other. So whether or not the numbers go up or down, it can't be and shouldn't be a matter of let's see, but it has to be a matter of I'm the government, I can go to the Ministry of Public Works, and I can ask them to tell me what commercial construction permits you have in, what residential commercial construction permits you have in, how does that compare to prior periods, or what investment stuff is out there? Are there any new jobs in the manufacturing sphere coming up and so forth? And I can look and tell from my data whether or not I'm likely to get better or worse numbers going forward. The government has command of great data. The BNSI is not creating the numbers, you know. They're not creating the employment situation. They're not creating the unemployment situation. They are measuring it. The creators of the employment and the actual employment information is the private sector and the government. And there are some lead indicators, we call them lead indicators in economics, that can give you an insight into what is likely to happen. Construction permits are lead indicators. Other indicators like unemployment rate is what we call a lag indicator, meaning that you only get the indicators is what is telling you what is likely to come. So work permits, construction permits are lead indicators that can be looked at. and tell you some things about what you can expect. Right? You can talk to businesses in the field and survey them and see how many of them are likely to hire people. New business license applications are lead indicators, because presumably somebody opens a business, depending on the type of business, they have to hire either themselves or others to do the work. So that's can be an indication of as a lead indicator. You could have training taking place that could be lead indicators, because people, when they are being trained for jobs, can be an indication of jobs to come. So all these things can get and you can get a sense of things. Prime Minister indicated that based on where he started, that even the IMF has indicated he's done an amazing job. Well, the IMF doesn't use words like that, and the IMF doesn't talk about any single individual or any administration. The IMF talks about what governments are doing. And the same IMF that took note of the Bahamas' economic recovery was the same IMF that predicted, along with the IDB and others, that the Bahamas would return to pre-pandemic levels long before the government had changed. When Dr. Menas was still in office, the IMF, the IDB, and others predicted that the Bahamas would, by 2024, return to pre-pandemic levels. Can I say this to you again and slowly? The IMF, the IDB, myself, and others predicted that the Bahamas economy would return to pre-pandemic levels even while we were still in the height of the recession. Why? That was, the Bahamas economy hadn't broken in 2020. It wasn't broken. It didn't break. It was turned down, voluntarily turned down. It wasn't broken. So you didn't have any destruction of tourism plant, destruction of manufacturing plant, eradication or severe reduction or injury to agriculture and fisheries. You didn't have any abandoning and total quashing construction projects. None of that was true. We made a decision in 2020 to shelter ourselves in as a protective measure. I'm not debating whether he should or shouldn't done it. That's what we decided to do, though. So the economy wasn't broken. It was turned down. Right? It's like parking your car and turning it off and going inside your house and staying in your house for a week. The car didn't break down. You go back outside. Unless the battery was already terribly wrong and couldn't work, you go and turn the car back on. You don't get stunned and shocked that the car turned on. It wasn't broken to begin with. Now, if it break down, it's hard and you expect, well, it broke down. The economy of the Bahamas did not break down. We turned it down. And when we thought that the pandemic was waning, even before the government changed, we turned the economy back up. Well, the levers and everything was working still. All we did was turn it back up. We started saying, okay, tourists, move about as you wish. We turned it up. And so all the working parts had more activity, economic activity. And as was predicted by the IMF, the IDB, Shivago Lang, and all the others, by 2024, we had returned to pre-pandemic levels and some, because We didn't factor in the pent-up demand for travel that would have been there by North American people who decided, well, I ain't going to travel far because this pandemic, you ain't never know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the Bahamas. And so they started coming here more. We didn't figure on some of the rich people decide, no, I'm going to buy me some property in the Bahamas because if this thing happened again, I need someplace I can go shelter away on my little property, an island, and so forth and so forth. And so we had that happen. This wasn't a matter of any policy decisions by anybody in any significant change in policy in the Bahamas. This was a question of turning back up the economy. That's what it was. And that's why it was possible for the IMF, the IDB, and others to simply say by 2024, you will return to pre-pandemic levels. That's just a matter of sheer logical and reasonable calculation. And that's what happened. And so that was what the IMF and those have been commenting on. They've been commenting on the extent to which the Bahamas' recovery followed a path that was expected prior to the end of the COVID-19 pandemic. And yes, the Prime Minister and his team have presided over that recovery for the last 4 years, as opposed to the several months that Dr. Ministers presided over it. And so owning that and taking the praises of that, I don't begrudge at all. But that does not dismiss from the analysis that reflects what in fact actually happened. Now, I will tell you that if you look at the fiscal situation of the country, and recently the Standard & Poor's upgraded the Bahamas' credit rating, not this time, not just the outlook, but the actual long-term debt rating has been upgraded from BB plus to B, right? And I think that is news attributable to the work done by the Davis administration. That fiscal improvement is in significant part due to the Davis administration, largely because I think that, one, their aggressive fiscal consolidation plan, which has been criticized by some, and I can understand why. You know, if you're the person got to pay, you ain't won't pay. But they have been very assertive in recollection. And I think that that has been helped to improve government revenue. And I think that that the extent to which there was a reduction overall in VAT could have provided some additional boost for the economy and maybe created some other spending thrust. So on the fiscal side of things, where Standard & Poor's has now upgraded the Bahamas' credit rating, I think the Davis administration can absolutely take a bow for that. Because I think that is largely a function of intentional fiscal policy. The things related to the economy, I'm sorry, I don't, my own analysis does not bear out that there was any significant policy in this policy intervention that brought that about, especially given that we were predicting this to the pandemic weaning. It says the water in that aqueduct can always be pumped to the sea. Therefore, unlike other properties challenged by flooding, an outlet with unlimited capacity for removing flood water exists. All facilities already exist except the automated system and pump to move water along. Was that too much to ask of an MP? Was at the same time the Minister of Works, Minister over Water and Sewage, and Minister of PPR? Every agency needed to get it done. I don't think it was too much. I don't think it's too much, especially with God being added to the kind of criticism that was levied on me when it was happening. So but life, my friend, life. It says, after the pandemic was similar to 9/11, most Americans were not traveling far, so the Bahamas benefited for being a close destination. That would not have been unusual. you know, like, so two things can be true. It can be that the economy of the Bahamas returned to pre-pandemic levels. And not have had any significant policy intervention by a presiding administration, as well as a presiding administration can take credit for that economy's return by saying that it did things either to help it along or certainly didn't do anything to mess it up. You know, that's possible. But of course, In the politics of life, you if you want popularity, you need credit for actually making a thing happen. And that's the danger of things you don't have control of. Let me give you an example. If the unemployment rate goes down and you are doing it, you are causing it. But bear this in mind now. The unemployment rate goes down and you are causing it. Well, when it goes up, what happened? You ain't in control no more? You no longer now have the wherewithal to keep driving it down? Why? What changed? What is it that made it impossible for you? Now, if you say, you see what I did? I got the unemployment rate going down this quarter. And we'd be pushing it down that quarter because this is what we're doing. We're pushing it down that quarter. And then something in the world happened, a war, a terrorist attack, or something like that, that dramatically affects your, say, tourism sector because you don't control what happens in the world, then yes, you can say, but for that, this was happening. But if none of that factors into it, what happens? Why is it that if you brought it down to this, and seasonality, as an example, is baked into your economic realities, so that's why it's called seasonality. So you have to take account of seasonality when you are doing your policy. What happened? How come it ain't going down no more? Because in many ways, you are not in control. But that the government of the Bahamas is not in control of unemployment. Shouldn't be shocking to anybody. It's not. Politicians love to claim it. So when it goes down, that's what we did. When it goes up, well, that's right. But the government isn't. The vast majority of people are hired in the private sector. When is the government deciding who can hire, who ain't hire, and who can let off and who ain't gonna let off? When does the government decide that? Does not. Government decides who works in the public sector and who doesn't. And when was the last time you saw the government reduce the size of the public sector? When? You ain't gonna see it. So it means that most fluctuations taking place in the economy, in the employment sector, is taking place in the private sector. The government doesn't control that. That's why the government shouldn't claim. The government may acknowledge and recognize we are grateful and thankful that our policies may be helping and assisting and moving things along. But our strategy is working to produce unemployment, to reduce unemployment. You have to show me that in a very serious way. I think that the government of the Bahamas' policy has worked to generate substantial opportunities for Bahamians over decades now, decades and decades and decades. What policies? Our education policies, our health policies, our economic policies in the way of approving and incentivizing private, domestic and foreign investments, the stability of our monetary policy and fiscal policy for the most part, yes. Over the years, I think that has been extremely helpful to generating the level of prosperity we've seen in this society. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashi Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks, and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan at capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands, in all seasons.
John's Shoes and Accessories September sale has begun, and you don't want to miss out on the greatest savings event of the year. 25% off items for men, women, and children, including appliances. 15% off brands like Timberland, Skechers, Steve Madden, and more. And don't forget John's Careware for 25% off nursing, hospitality, and chef uniforms, as well as John's Fashion for 25% off women's fashion clothing. Shop big savings with John's Palmdale or Carmichael Road from now until September 30th. We put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio Fresh News. Smart talk all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 316. You can call us on 242-300-5720 from the Family Islands. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. You know the statistics has great redeeming value for public policy making. For the people who respect them, for people who regard them with a degree of sanctity. And I don't mean divine sanctity, I just mean credibility and integrity, especially if the methodology of the statisticians is not to be questioned. They can be insightful, they can be enlightening. And And when we have these political knee-jerk reactions to the statistics, they can come back to haunt us. They can come back to bite us. Okay? Now, you know, I did not hear Prime Minister Davis's response to, apparently he was asked about comments he made about the Minnesota administration when the unemployment rate had gone up to 10.7%. I had not heard that before today. But that is an example. And, you know, with respect, I don't see that he has given and provided a good and clear explanation for why a 10.7% under the Minnesota administration back then, January 2019, was a matter of no vision, no plan, and no strategy. And today, January 25, it's a matter of seasonality, but not a matter of leadership. It's not my judgment that is being questioned in respect of that matter, because I agree with him, it's not a matter of leadership, just as it wasn't a matter of leadership in January 2019, but he made it a matter of leadership in 2019. And why then would people not come back and say to you, yeah, but you're at 10.8%, you're even higher. Not only are you at 10.8%, you are trending higher for almost three quarters now. Trending higher. Okay? Is that a matter of policy? Is that a matter of leadership? Well, people who assert that, if they are to be subject to rigorous challenge, would have to provide evidence of that. What is the policy being implemented, being pursued, that is causing the unemployment rate to go up? What is that policy? Somebody name it for me. What is it? Is it a fiscal policy? Is it a taxing measure, a spending measure? Is it a monetary policy? Is the central bank exercising some credit restraint that's causing banks to be able to unable to lend more, and therefore less mortgages taking place, and therefore less construction on that causing it? We know that there's been retrenchment in the wholesale and retail area. We know that. That was compared to the same period in January 2024. So that area went down by about 315 employees, wholesale and retail trade. We know construction went down by 2,165 as compared to the same period in 2024. Remember now, same period in 2024. So seasonality is a factor now, it's a factor then, because this is the same season. But the unemployment rate then in 2024 was 8.7%. The unemployment rate today is 10.8%. We know that manufacturing jobs went down. So the question is, what was that? Why don't you go talk to the manufacturers? Go talk to the wholesalers and retailers. Go talk, go talk to the construction people. You know, construction projects come to an end. That's the reality. Are there new constructions coming up? Go talk to the Department of Public Works and ask them what they have in the works. All of those things can give insights that can provide statistical information that makes your public policy making more robust, as opposed to your political punditry. It's less robust because it's less generated by real and robust data. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir.
After 4 years and 2 weeks in power, he's still running on but menace. And say menace ain't had no vision or whatever, right? But at least menace left Ragged Island polarized, and ain't nothing happened with BPL that makes too much sense yet, right? Hello?
Listening. I'm listening to you.
That was vision in the right direction, because you know foreigners had no share in our electrical company. I'm since ministering out of power until they came into power. But you know, they're the kind of things that we have to look at, and they need to sort out his vision when it comes to stuff like that. And I can go on this one. Tell them, tell us where that king is. Yeah, so them fellas up in New York, you know, trying to cut their deals. Have a good day.
My point has to do with how we analyze, how we comment upon the data, the professionals in the society, in the country. So we have statistical data that's produced by the BNSI. We have public health data that comes out from the Ministry of Public Health. We have data produced by the Central Bank. We have data produced by the Ministry of Public Works. We have data that you can get from the Ministry of Finance and so forth. This data is more often than not, especially the ones in the, you know, these quasi-government fields, you know, and even, like, I tell people, I had occasion to say to some attorneys recently, they were questioning me on some government information, and this attorney, this British attorney, said, you know, that he finds that the data is so unreliable. Well, you all know Zhivago lying, right? I said, unreliable. What you mean? What do you mean unreliable? And he said, well, we don't know that we can trust the... I said, sir, with the greatest respect to you, I said, there is no reason on planet Earth, any lack of trust and confidence in data produced by the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. And I said, even for the most part, the Ministry of Finance. I said, now, if you hear a political person using data, you can look at that use of the data with some degree of suspicion, because there may be some political spin there. But as for the data that's put out in the form of the fiscal numbers, revenue, expenditure, deficit, debt, and all that kind of stuff, I said, there's no reason, absolutely no reason. And I was just like this. I was right, just like this. There's no reason to have any kind of lack of confidence in that. And the politicians in the Bahamas, the political leadership on both the government and the opposition side, have got to be able to exude the same level of confidence in that data that's being put out by their agencies. Because in the day that it is not possible to trust in that data, except that you have probable cause to do so, is the day we should throw everything out the window and just decide, well, everything is a matter of my opinion. This sucks, that's great, that's bad, that's sad. And don't make them people ask me, where's your evidence? Evidence for what? We don't need no evidence. It is what I say it is. It is what we say it is. If you aren't putting people in the field to measure, if you aren't the collector of the data, if you aren't the collator of the data, you are not the people who are analyzing the data so that the data could be processed, don't talk to me about no the suspect this and suspect that, because you ain't got no methodology nor no resources to do it. So don't when the numbers go down, call the BNSI or this place and the next place talking about how you produced that number because you don't like it. Then when it goes up, you ain't got nobody because you like it. I'm not doing that. It's very important to have regard for how this data can be useful, helpful in your public policy endeavors. And if we respect them enough, we don't get flustered because the numbers don't give a story that we like. We analyze them, we understand them, and we understand what they are instructing about how we ought to adjust and adapt what we're doing. That's the more important thing. Hey, or something. Seldom in the Bahamas. Seldom. Let's put it like this. It is not very often that governments can draw a line between these results and my policy. Not very often, these results and my policy. More often than not, governments are trying to persuade you that what you see here, good, is what I did. They can't draw the line, but they talk it. Or these bad you see here, that's them. That's them people. Can't draw a line between them people and that. But that's what they say. And guess what? That's why the population doesn't give credit to the political leadership to the extent that the political leadership think they should. Because the line is either absent, blurred, or fragmented. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take everybody. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar, life spectacular.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, with care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. So, you know, the government actually can have a powerful predictive model of employment if it pays more attention to analytical attention to the statistics that's produced. So let me give you an example of what I mean. So the Prime Minister said, let's see what the next set of numbers produce. Now, bear in mind, you have to bear this in mind, the next set of numbers are already produced. Why? Those numbers, the second quarter numbers, relate to April, May, and June. April, May, and June is already gone. The measure of that number has already taken place. You don't have the published results yet, but the measure has already taken place. Right? So this isn't a question of what the Prime Minister those are doing or what anybody's doing. This is already done. So those numbers will be what they are. Are there more than 16,840 legislators and senior officials still in April, May, June? Are there more than 46,835 professional science and engineering professionals in April, May, June? Because that's what they were in January. Are there more than 18,340 clerks? Because that's what they were in January 2025. Are there more than 57,685 service workers and shop market sales workers as they were in January 2025? Are there more than 6,295 skilled agriculture and fishery workers in April, May, June? Are there more than 35,120 craft and related workers, plant and machine operators and assemblers than there were in January in the first quarter of 2025? Are there more than 28,460 elementary occupations? And then are there more than 5,150 not stated to give and 14,725 workers? So the question then becomes one of, in those categories, what would have changed? What thing could happen to result in a change in those areas? Right? That would be the question. And that has already happened because that quarter is already gone. Right? Because if you have reductions in those numbers, the unemployment rate will go up further. If you have reduction in some numbers and not movements in other numbers, then the unemployment rate will go up further. So it all depends on what happens. So when you look at those sectors, let me tell you what is already true. So you notice the Prime Minister didn't say whether the numbers would go up or down. And he was wise not to do that. But January, February, and March is the first quarter. That's high season for Bahamas tourism. That's high season. You start to taper off April, May, and June. So are you likely to have more hotel and restaurant workers in April, May, and June than you have in January, February, March? That's seasonal. That's seasonality. Okay? The season for grouper and will open up in March, March 1st. Right? So your March, so now if those numbers add to your employment, then you'll pick that up in the second quarter. But remember, the total amount of those, total amount is 3,745. They represent 2% of the total labor force in the country, 2%. So that's not a lot to move the numbers one way or the other. So with some attention and some inquiries of the people who actually do the employing, you could get a sense of what the numbers would be. Now, if you went to people and tried to capture what was happening now for the second quarter, you wouldn't be asking them, did you hire? Because this is already done. Second, third quarter, already done. For the most part. You're now entering the fourth quarter of 2025, come October. That's tomorrow. So all the numbers are already faded. All the numbers. There's no shape in those numbers today. Those numbers are merely a matter of counting and processing by the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. That data is now lagging. The only lead data you could find now is potential employment in the fourth and final quarter of this year. The numbers for which you will not know until next year. So you still won't know what the deal is, but you will know. You will have some serious, some significant points for trending, see what is happening trend-wise. What do I think is likely to be the case in the second quarter? What the numbers are likely to be in the second quarter? To have higher unemployment numbers in the second quarter than in the first quarter. I don't know. Because I don't know what's out there. I really don't. I don't know what's in the works in terms of construction starts. I don't know what's in the works in terms of the new hires by folk. I know that seasonality in respect to tourism could come, could play into it. I don't know. I would tell you this much. It would be significantly troubling if the numbers are higher. We would have to be absolutely concerned if the numbers are higher than 10.8%. Because that's going to be like a four-quarter trend now. And I don't know that the numbers are likely to be significantly lower. Right? Certainly not lower than 9.7%. I don't think so. But as the PM says, we will see soon enough. This is correct with the answer he gave in 2019. The economy of the Bahamas was not trending in the positive direction as it is doing so now. So the conclusion would have been there is nothing happening because lackluster leadership today is different. The country is trending in a positive direction, which is evident according to the International Rating Agency. The Prime Minister was correct then, and he's correct now. Well, you first of all, you don't give us any evidence that the economy was not trending upward. Where you get that from? Where you get that from? You of course you have the third quarter results, right? You have those results, so that's why you're telling us. I mean, you have the quarterly results for the minute period. And that's why you're telling us that. See, there's a difference between forming a narrative to tell a story which you support versus what the numbers actually say. Okay? So let's see if we could help you. So Minutes came to office in 2017. the growth rate of the economy was 3.4%, right? You know, it grew in 2018 by 2.4%. In 2019, he had a Hurricane Dorian hit the country. The economy contracted. So how do you compare his realities to what the PM confronted? How do you do that? And how do you miss the whole narrative about Dorian, the pandemic, and still believe you have an analysis that's based on leadership? Really? Really? Seriously? And that's fair. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. God spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great evening.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.